Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. With you until 10, then Greeny will step in. Mike Greenberg, he's got a book, you know, 10 to noon. Carmen and Yurko from 12 to 12:30 into Sox baseball as they take on the evil Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, afternoon baseball again.
Oh, you gotta love it in April.
Oh, get out of here. Get a workout in and get my lunch and sit on the couch and watch the White Sox and the Twins all afternoon. Put a little same game parlay together. It's how much fun is that?
I'll sit on the couch, but all I need is the edge, because that's where I'll be sitting the entire series, on the edge. Sox and Twins.
I love afternoon baseball.
Dylan Cease against Kenta Maeda. Then Waddle and Sylvie after that game. And then Abdallah solo from 6 to 8 right into Freddie and Fitzsimmons right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000.
Like, we get rarely afternoon sports during the week. Mm-hmm. Martin Luther King Day, we get a ton of basketball.
Yep.
There's the start of college basketball when they play like 24 hours straight on ESPN. Mm-hmm. You got the NCAA tournament days. You get the Masters on Thursday. We got baseball today. And then right into Cubs Mariners.
Yes, I love day baseball. I grew up with it.
It's the best.
Can't help it. It's right there on Channel 9 for you all the time. So a little day baseball. And so that's always good in April for sure. I'll be missing it. Later on in the summer, like, oh, the first game's until 6:05, out of town.
Ah. Yeah. We were at Wrigley yesterday, my wife and I, our son Alex and his fiance Maggie, and we were sitting in the upper deck. What a great view to see everything, how it opens up. Mm-hmm. You could see from that view, there was zero chance Trey Mancini was catching that.
a great view of someone who's out of position.
Yes.
I know you can do both, but you want your guy back there.
It was fun.
Suzuki in right field. And a nice day, by the way.
Yes.
On a Easter Sunday.
Beautiful.
Really, really good day. We talked earlier, Cap, about what's going on with this Bears team and how we can say from our perch, reading everything over the weekend regarding the Bears, what the Bears are going to do. No one really knows, because no one really knew that the Bears would trade out of one and what they would get for one, except Shea. The only one that knew that he's the only one that knew that it would trade with Carolina. Am I out of my mind or what?
I made the Monday morning quarterback that week with Albert Breer after I suggested it, and I didn't even know it.
Really?
I don't know. I doubt it.
As we sat in Indianapolis, there was Shea on his fourth old-fashioned saying, am I high or what?
That reminds me. I never turned in the bill for that meal. I got to turn that into Danny.
It's too late. It's 30 days past. So anyway, so I'm just telling you that no one really knows what's really going on with the Bears. At 9, for me as a Bears fan, I'd be totally satisfied if they make the pick at 9 and they select who they want to select at 9 and then move forward throughout my day. I'm okay with that, Cap, because, there's something to be said about trying to outdumb yourself in the draft. Some believe that this is just like fantasy sports. Just trade this guy and move down and move around and just like, this ain't checkers pieces, man. This is chess. This is chess. You got to make sure that you're making solid moves for the organization. This pick you can't monkey around with. At 9, get who you need and keep it moving. That's what I say.
Again, if they stay at 9 and make a pick, I will assume that Ryan did not see a trade of his liking to give up the player he was able to get at 9. If he makes a deal, now if you told me he traded 9 for 3 future second rounders, yeah, none of us are going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
But if he makes a trade and he goes from 9 down to the Jets pick at 13 and gets a good player there, okay, I'm in. Mm-hmm. He's driving the bus. I'm just got a seat on the bus as a fan.
Yes.
That's it. So I will trust in him until his actions determine for me that he shouldn't be trusted any longer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened to Ryan Pace.
Absolutely.
Everyone wanted him to succeed.
I like the approach, though, that the Bears are going at this, because you have to realize who you are as an organization. Cap and I have the and a lot of Bears fans have the knowledge of how things were in the past. Hell, we went through a time as Bears fans where there was no general manager, where Ted Phillips would make a lot of choices and the ownership would make choices. Well, you didn't really have a general manager in name, Cap. We saw Jerry Angelo try it, and I think that he did a pretty good job as a general manager.
Yeah, he was the first guy.
But think about that, though, in the history of the organization, that Jerry Angelo's the guy. And I think it was a surprise to everyone because we saw Rod Graves as a pro personnel.
The late Mark Hatley.
Yeah.
Jerry Vannesi was the GM, but he was also Mike Ditka's closest friend, and they fired him, which was a stupid decision.
Absolutely.
And then they brought in Angelo, and he got him to a Super Bowl.
Yes.
He drafted some really, really good players. Really good.
Stu, I would love for this draft and what is being built would be like the way that Vannesi and Ditka built the Bears in the past.
Correct.
Like, hey, we're terrible, but at some point we're going to get to the Super Bowl as a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, in that front office with Kevin Warren as a president, hopefully that is the objective. I know they're trying to slow play this thing, but I hope that they are saying this. I hope that's on their, you know, that's in their minds. It's in the building that we're trying to get to the Super Bowl. It's one thing.
I think they are.
I hope it's in the building, though. Like, they know. Like, you're not just trying to recreate and just, because that's the one thing that fans always want to know, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they cast aspersions on Jerry Reinsdorf in particular, I'll just use him as an example. Oh, Jerry doesn't want to win. Jerry's just there to collect money. He's not trying to win. Well, wait a minute. Why do you get into business?
To win. To make money and win.
Like, I got money. That's why I'm an owner.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make more money, obviously. Who doesn't? Doesn't matter if you're a millionaire or a thousandaire. You want to be able to make as much money as possible.
Correct.
But also, with that, you want to be able to win. I just want to make sure it's clear that I believe, based on what Ryan Poles is talking about, and Kevin Warren, who's, I mean, that guy could be a commissioner of the league at some point next 5 to 10 years, that their objective is to win and get to the Super Bowl and win it. It's been so long since we saw the Bears in this position. And we're talking about going back to Lovie Smith. It's still been a long time. 06? Last time the Bears in the Super Bowl?
The 06 season.
Man, that's still a long time.
Long time.
So I'm hoping that they can be able to do this right. And again, this is not necessarily based always on free agency and how much money you have. Bears got money. That's for sure. But now to get the new iteration of the Bears, the new generation of the Bears, I can't wait to see what this looks like over the next few years.
Correct. And again, I hope they go 17-0, get in the playoffs and run the table by 30 points every game and win the Super Bowl. That'd be amazing. I just don't think that's this year. I don't see them going to the playoffs. I don't see them contending to go to the playoffs. But I do think they're building this thing the right way. Now let's see what he does with all this extra draft capital. Yet, as of right now, they have 10 picks.
Yes.
I mean, you got to think 8 of those guys make the roster.
You'd hope, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe all of them.
The 7th round picks. I mean, I no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're building it the right way. It's going to take time.
Which line do you need solidified first? Offense or defensive line?
It's a great question.
I mean, I don't think there's a wrong answer.
Well, I think it's easier to fix the offensive line because you already have some players there. Tevin Jenkins is talented. Braxton Jones is talented. They've got some pieces. The kid, Nate Davis, that they signed out of Tennessee, they've got some pieces there. I still think you need an elite left tackle and move Braxton to right. That's what I think. And that's what I've asked Olin and people who would know. That's what they feel. That might be the way to go.
Then on top of that though, Cap, yes, that is true. Like, there's the reason why I asked the question is because there's no wrong answer. You need help on both sides.
Yeah, if you can't stop the run, you can't win. And right now they can't stop the run.
So what are they gonna do? I mean, Travis Gibson is a solid player, Cap. They picked up Rasheen Green. We talked about this last week.
Yeah.
Now, these are just guys.
They're just guys.
But who's gonna fill like that left side on the defensive end spot or inside? Andrew Billings is on my depth chart.
Who? Right. Just a guy. They don't have, like, they had 2 years ago, Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd that team go?
Well, right. Nowhere. Nowhere fast.
And they had Akeem Hicks. Yeah. Where'd that team go?
Yeah.
And they had Roquan. Where'd that team go?
Mm-hmm.
My point. That's how far away that defense is.
What do you think, Shay? When I say Jalen Carter... If Jalen Carter's there at 9, again, this is if the Bears have done everything, turned over every rock to find out what's between his ears, because the talent is there. You cannot deny the tape. But again, based on that life event that he put himself through that he was involved in. It's a big discussion point on whether or not the Bears are going to go with him at nine, or do you go down and get more picks? And again, I'm not a Bears fan just for the headlines. Look what the Bears did. Look at the Jazz hands. I don't need that. I want them to solidify certain players and be able to identify cornerstone players for the future for this team.
Yeah, it's tough. I hate that it's a binary, but that's what some of the reporting, so-called rumor mongering, made it sound like this weekend, was if it's not Jalen Carter at nine, they're going to move the pick. I would like a wide receiver like Jaxon Smith-Njigba, personally. That's the route I would go. No, I think, honestly, in the car crash and the driving, the racing doesn't weigh into it a lot for me. It's showing up to the pro day overweight, not being able to finish your drills. You only do the measurables. Like, that stuff, he had a reputation before we had the racing incident of taking plays off. He's only playing half the snaps. He wasn't a high work ethic guy. And then you have... You add on the car crash and the racing, and then you show up overweight to your pro day, and you can't finish your drills. It's a lot of, hey, I get that he's doing well in the interviews and jumps off the film, but there's a lot of film that he's not on because he wasn't on the field. He was taken off the snap, or he just wasn't on the field for that play. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of times where he's on film and he is taking a play off. There's a lot of, like, those things exist. And now you can't finish your drills. I'm worried about you as a player in addition to what your character is. I'm glad he's doing well in the interviews if you turn over all those rocks, but sometimes people will show you who they are, and it feels like Jalen Carter's showing us who he is.
So he goes to the Lions at six. All right, coming up.
Why would...
He goes to the Lions. That's what happens.
Oh, boy.
And he becomes a star.
I think the Lions are taking Tyree Wilson if he's on the board. I do.
Probably.
So they have Aiden Hutchinson and Tyree Wilson?
Mm-hmm.
Because Will Anderson, I would think, would be gone.
Yes.
I would think.
Yes.
Why would you draft another wide receiver when you have done nothing to fix your defense or your offensive line yet?
Why did the Bengals do it? They had the worst offensive line in football, prioritized wide receiver. Sometimes
they also have a franchise quarterback who's proven.
Yeah, so do we.
No, we do not.
Had Joe Burrow proven anything when they drafted Ja'Marr Chase? If you get him the receiver, then you're banking on him becoming that guy. If he's not that guy, you get a quarterback. The thing I think is, if you have a lot of talented wide receivers who can get open quickly and make plays happen in a flash, you actually take a lot of pressure off the offensive line to have to protect you for 5 seconds because you can get the ball out immediately to guys who are open.
I love Justin. He hasn't proven what Joe Burrow had proven at the same stage. And I know Joe had an injury in there as well.
Yes.
So Ja'Marr Chase is better than Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Is he?
Yes.
Because everybody at Ohio State tells you Jaxon Smith-Njigba is the best of the bunch, and that's a group that included Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. That's everybody at Ohio State and Garrett Wilson saying that.
Yeah. He's my first favorite, Jaxon Njigba. The second one is the guy that plays for the Pirates.
I kept hearing Len Casper say Smith-Njigba. I didn't know that kid played for the Pirates. I kept hearing Len Casper say it on the broadcast yesterday, and it was my head was spinning every time.
How about that? His brother plays for the Pirates.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
How about that?
I know you don't believe me, but it's in. I watched him all weekend. He's typing it in.
I am.
He's just trying to figure out how to spell Njigba.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've got it.
Well, okay. It's N.
Yeah. Wow. So.
It's not. No. No. It's a J. Go ahead.
Just so we're clear. When you go back and you look up the prospect grades for Chase versus Njigba, it's not close. Ja'Marr Chase was much more highly regarded coming out of college. Just so we're clear.
Well, I would hope so. He was the number 5 pick in the draft. And Jaxon Smith-Njigba is probably going to be the 9th. Maybe the 10th. Maybe the 11th. Maybe the 12th. Maybe the 13th.
Yeah, there's a lot of mocks don't even have him in the number 1 wide receiver.
I don't think you spelled his last name right.
I've got it.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Gen Z, want to start a new workplace trend? Gen Z, stay by your listening device. Listen to this next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We got Worst Weekends coming up at 9:35, where you could vote at ESPN 1000 who had the worst weekend in sports or entertainment. Okay, so you saw something, Cap, on Good Morning America regarding, you know, Gen Z. I'm a Gen Xer.
Yep.
Me and Jay Moore are Gen Xers. Gen Y, I believe, is over your shoulder.
Correct.
And you're a baby boomer.
Correct.
So tell us about Gen Z, because no one represents Gen Z on the show.
So there is this new... We've always heard about Casual Friday and Get Over Hump Day on Wednesday.
Sure.
Now, Snorling pulled up the article. I happened to be walking by the TV, running out to go to the bathroom, and I saw Good Morning America on. Shay, pull up the article. You pulled up the article.
Here, yeah.
Okay, why don't you tell us what I saw?
It's hashtag Bare Minimum Mondays. It has racked up more than 2 million views. It's trending on Twitter and TikTok right now as a new thing from Gen Z influencers who want Mondays to be... It's the idea is to ease into the work week by prioritizing self-care over productivity on Mondays.
Jay Moore, that's right up our angle. That's right up our alley right there.
Oh, yeah.
Bare Minimum Monday and self-care? What site is that? Where can we find that?
Good Morning America.
No, they're not showing anything bare on there. No, I mean, this is right up our alley. Bare minimum. All right.
It's doing the bare minimum, not wearing the bare minimum.
Oh, okay.
You goofballs.
Doing the bare minimum is good enough for me, too.
That's not how you roll.
You don't know how I roll, pal,
when it
comes to the bare minimum.
Yeah, it says workers are suffering burnout, and this is a way to get them re-energized and recharged by doing the things they have to do to get a paycheck, and that's it.
I'm not going to engage because I'm going to be, get off my lawn. Okay, so bare minimum Monday. Let's tackle Tuesday. Oh, it's hump day. I just got to get through it. Thursday, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, Thursday is like Friday Junior, isn't it?
But then it's a four-day work week, so Thursday is the end of the week.
Yeah, I mean...
Okay, bare minimum, and it's not what... It's about the lack of productivity, right, Cap? Bare minimum Monday?
Yeah.
That's just not going to get it done.
I just don't get it.
No, I mean, that's... Let's just unpack that for a second. Bare minimum Monday. Cap, you've had the weekend off. Right. And then some businesses, you get off early on Friday. Not all, but some. But even if you're working full time on, you know, Monday through Friday, you have Saturday and Sunday to recharge. Why do you need the bare minimum to get through Monday? Monday, you should be recharged. I am ready to go. It's Monday. We could have done a show Saturday and Sunday, but we did not. We got 2 days off, and then here we go. We're hitting the gas pedal on Monday.
Yeah, look, I had a spring in my step, heading out to the car. Going to be nice weather all week. Bam, let's go.
It's bare minimum.
Danny, come down and go, what in the hell are you guys doing?
It's bare minimum Monday.
What would bare minimum Monday be for us? Cap just opens his newspaper and reads.
That's pretty much it. Be reactive.
We are on the air.
That's right. We have a two-hour music bit.
Right.
It's just running.
Right. All right. They're playing the Mariners. Get a beat writer on. Oh, Sox got the Twins. See if there's some radio dude from Minnesota wants to talk for a few minutes.
All right. Let's not talk about the score. All right. Let's not do that. Let's not do that.
Wow.
Let's not do that.
Two-thirds.
Let me pat them on the head. That's fine. But no, it's just, Cap, the bare minimum Monday, if you think, again, you're running the office or you're running a plant, you don't want to see the bare minimum done because you want the most productive. It's Monday. Bare minimum.
Right.
Okay, Shay, it's got to be something done about this. And see, it's easy if you're an employee to say, oh, I'm just trying to get by because we had a long weekend. It's so great. We were drinking and we were singing karaoke. Oh, my God. Like, no. No. It's Monday. Hit the ground running, Cap. How is that accepted, though, in these businesses?
It's a great question. It is a great question. I don't get it, but I've argued this with people. I was talking to someone the other day at the gym. I won't take a job or I can't work from home. I got to be able to get off early on Fridays. I'm like, I ain't hiring you.
Right.
I'm a good employee. I just don't want to be in the confines of an office having been told there's a dress code. Welcome to the frickin' world, man.
You know what's funny to me is Cap walks into this studio with his hair on fire after seeing that. Well, pardon the expression. After seeing this Good Morning America thing with the lower third talking about bare minimum Monday, he's irate about this new Gen Z deal. But here's Mr. Gen Z at the Cubs game consuming three pieces of media on different technology while he's at the game. That's the most Gen Z thing ever. That was pulling a Young, courtesy of Danny Zetterman.
Pulling a Young.
You were pulling a Young. When you're at a Cubs game and you've got the iPad up and your phone up and you're watching
multiple pieces
of media.
My two phones. I was watching the Masters on one phone. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the Cubs game. And then I was going back between the Sox and the Bulls streaming.
So you're at the Cubs game with two other pieces of media. That's as Gen Z as it gets.
My wife wanted to know what was going on in the Masters. She was intrigued by it.
Yes.
My son Alex, who's winning them? How is Tiger? No, he's out. He withdrew. So I was sampling everything so that when I came in here today, my boss would go, you know what? You might be a little nuts, but at least you were prepared. You saw everything.
Well, I understand that, but just the idea. You can't just take a crap on Gen Z and then do the most Gen Z thing. As a game in front of you, entertainment in front of you, and then you got two screens. Could have just done that at home, but you got tickets to the game. That's why you did that.
Yeah. Maybe got tickets to the game from her boss, so we went.
I'd like to bring in the director of content, Danny Zetterman. He's with us here on Cap and Jay Hood about this topic.
Such good hair, man.
Well, here's the thing. Thank you. Gen Z wants to be able to start a new workplace trend. What's it called again?
Bare Minimum Monday.
Bare Minimum Monday.
Shane's been doing this since he's been here.
that's bare minimum every day.
That's what I'm saying. I heard you guys talking about this. I think it's interesting. But in today's normal workplace, I feel like most people mail it in on Fridays already.
Yeah.
You know, like this, our office is a ghost town on Fridays.
That is true.
You know, the traffic on a Friday, it sucks now. Everybody's stuck in the Kennedy. I apologize. Just keep listening. We'll get you to work. But Fridays, less traffic. So there's already like bare minimum Friday. Now we want bare minimum Monday.
But if you're running a company, as you're a part of running a company, you want the production on the front end. Because if you've done all your work Monday through Thursday, a few loose ends on Friday, go home. There's the early release on Fridays, right? You can go home at 11 or noon as long as everything's done on the front end. The idea that you have the weekend and then Monday, like, yeah, I'm just going to ease my way in. I'm going to wait. Ease your way in. It's Monday. That's when the meetings, the production, everything's got to be happening on Monday. Look, we're Gen Xers, you and I. So we're used to the hard work, right?
That's who we are.
Yeah, it's kind of like you had another choice, right? But the idea that you're going to ease your way in is that you don't tolerate that under your administration, do you?
No, on Monday mornings, you have to get back to emails. Like over the weekend, nobody expected to work. Nobody's expected to respond to emails. But on Monday morning, you've had those emails in your box since late Friday afternoon. You've got to respond to people. There's got to be some productivity. We've got to work.
But are you not the guy who, man, every day you hit the ground running?
Yeah, I understand work-life balance, but I think now it's getting Gen Z is making it more about like less work, more life, which I get, which is great. But like we're running businesses, and these businesses need productivity. You got to be working hard, and you've got to be putting in your hours and doing what you have to do. Easing into a Monday morning is not going to get things done.
But you were not easing in at age 30.
No, but that's not the way we were raised. Like, we didn't get away from it. My wife worked for this huge accounting firm. I'm not going to mention their name. When she started working there, there was a dress code where everybody had to look really good and really dressed up and nice. They had a hard time recruiting Gen Zs, so now everyone's allowed to wear jeans and T-shirts. Yeah. And, like, they completely changed what they did because they couldn't recruit the younger people because the younger people didn't want to work like that. So many businesses now are allowing people to work from home because the younger workforce doesn't want to come into offices. So you got to adapt and evolve, I guess. Pivot.
Or find the employees that will co-sign with what you want. Maybe you have to pay them a little bit more.
Jay Moore.
Keep your culture.
Speaking of that, Cap, we need you to start at 7 a.m. every day and go to 7 p.m. every day. I think you can handle that.
Done.
Society, man, has evolved. So we just have to adapt. That's what Danny said. I agree.
No. When it comes to production, no. Absolutely not. I will. You hit the ground running on Monday. You want to have the Friday off? Fine, but you got to work hard the other 4 days. Screw that.
Why don't you put a memo out? My friend Rick just texted me. It's a great idea. Maximum Monday. ESPN 1000, it's called Maximum Monday.
That's good. Hear that, snorling?
Can I do Maximum Monday in sweatpants?
That's all you wear is sweatpants. I walk in because I'm coming in here to do a FanDuel read. I walk in, I look at you. You've got sweatpants on and a vest. You look like you're like getting ready to get stranded at sea.
Going on the movie cast.
I don't get the vest look for anybody, but you especially, it's so puffy. It's like a life preserver.
It's a nice vest. What are you going to do
shopping
that
with
for?
Jay Moore?
Nothing like
DJ
a good
looking sharp.
Nothing like a good give up pants on a Monday. I like
pants,
it.
But it used to be give up pants. Now it's everybody comes. Carm wears the joggers all the time. I see it.
It's fun. Sylvie never wears real pants. Always joggers. If he shows up in just blue jeans, I'm like, where are you going? You got something special today?
That's so good. Good to see you, Danny.
All right, boys. Pleasure. You sound great.
We got worse weekends right around the corner on Cap and Jay Hood.
Here's today's headline with Cap'n Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The White Sox lose to the Pirates by a score of 1-0. Sox are now 4-6 in their first 10 games of the season. Sox will take on the Twins this afternoon, 12:30 pregame, 1:10 first pitch right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The Cubs, they lose to the Rangers 8-2 at Wrigley. They'll take on Seattle tonight at 6:40. The Bulls, their regular season's over. They beat the Pistons 103-81. Now with a chance to be in the play-in game. They'll play on Wednesday against Toronto. Odell Beckham now is a Raven. And John Rahm won the Masters. Jay Moore.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Swept by the Pirates.
We can only ask or wonder that he is asking some departed relative for forgiveness for this atrocious performance.
Falling in an outhouse? Or maybe a dose of instant karma?
The evidence would lead me to believe that he did not break the plane before getting rid of the ball. And who knows what's going on inside that helmet?
It's time to find out who had the worst weekend on Cap'n Jay Hood.
It's the Cap'n Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Every Monday at this time, we give you one of our favorite segments, The Worst Weekends. Quentin Hale, by the way, on Twitter, you saw this, right? Quentin Hale from Crystal Lake says he ran into Jack Sanborn yesterday.
I saw that.
Oh.
Very cool.
Outstanding, man.
In fact, our friend Dean over at Carson's?
Yes.
He said Jack Sanborn and his family came in for dinner a couple weeks ago, and he went over and got a nice photo with him.
A future star here in the NFL with the Chicago Bears. He'll start to have some big billboards up there on the expressway on the Kennedy and the Eatons. Absolutely. Jack Sanborn on his way. Stars born.
There you go.
Jack Sanborn.
Pretty cool.
Jack Sanborn. He's the best. The next Durlaker. Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
All right, boys, let's get started with worst weekends.
Oh, jeez. Ah, haven't felt that in years. Jack Sanborn.
All right. Felt what?
I'm flabbergasted.
Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Well, let's get started with worst weekends and a little bit of semi-local flavor here. Semi-local. In the White Sox game yesterday, O'Neill Cruz looked like he'd never attempted a slide before in the history of baseball, barreling down the third baseline. Didn't think about sliding at all until he was about an inch from Sebi Zavala, slid right into Zavala's body, and broke his leg. May not play the rest of the season.
Well, that's on O'Neill. His Pirates fans on Twitter going after Zavala and the White Sox for being dirty, a dirty player, you know, or a dirty team. What? That kid didn't know whether or not he should scratch his watch or wind his ass going to home plate. He had no idea what he was doing out there. You slide in that spot or run him over, but you can't be in between because that's how you could break your leg. Oh, he looks like he broke his leg.
Yeah, it was terrible. When I saw him face down, you could see when he contact was made, and then you saw the expression on his face of agony, and then he's face down. Mm-hmm. And then Carlos Santana reacted to Sebi saying, "What are you doing?" And
doing what?
I'm not going to say it again.
What did he say? No, we need the
he
quote.
He called him a name.
What's that? What do you call him?
he called them a slang name. And
can we say it now? Because now it sounds really bad.
And he reacted, and all of a sudden the bench is empty. They're coming out of the bullpen. It was like, okay, guys, enough.
Oh, yeah, you listen. He slid poorly.
He did.
I'm surprised we don't, and by the way, I'm surprised that run didn't score. Especially with today's Major League Baseball rules. I'm sorry, did Sebi give him a lane to break his leg?
There was plenty of room to reach around.
Okay. What's? I'm sorry?
Excuse me?
Beg your pardon?
Plenty of room to get his foot in there.
I haven't hit it in 4 months. All right.
But there's nothing wrong with a reach around.
Shay.
He gave him plenty of room to reach around. Ah! Now we're back to Sanborn.
Oh, all right. Yeah, let's move on to the Rocket City Trash Pandas, the AA Angels affiliate, who, nice story here. In the seventh inning, they were throwing a combined no-hitter, held a 3-0 lead. Really nice story. Then they went walk, walk, pop out, walk. So three on, one out, get a strikeout, almost out of the jam. Walk, error, two runs, hit by pitch, loaded the bases with a 3-3 tie, hit by pitch, walk, wild pitch, scores now 7-3, hit by pitch, strikeout. The Trash Pandas would go on to complete the no-hitter and lose the game 7-5. A 7-5 loss in which you threw a no-hitter.
Wow. That is a bad day.
That is a really bad day.
That is actually worse than the Andy Hawkins no-hitter. Remember the July 4th?
July 4th no-hitter.
Comiskey Park. There's as a fly ball to left field. It just lands fair. It was an error, I believe, on the left fielder.
They called it. I think it clanked off his glove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was an error, and then 3-run score? 4-run score, I think, in that play.
And
you
like,
remember this, right?
This guy threw a no-hitter.
Yes.
You got drilled.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Correct.
So that actually is worse. And by the way, I think for the staff, I got my card here. We should all get Trash Panda hats.
I love that logo.
Rocket City Trash Pandas?
That's pretty cool.
That sounds awesome. I think I might have seen them last year, the hats.
The Rocket City Trash Pandas and the, I think it's the Rocky Mountain Vibe, have the best logos in the minor league. The Rocky Mountain Vibe, it's like a marshmallow on fire in between the graham cracker. It's incredible.
The Rocket City Trash Pandas, a minor league team. My God. I do like that logo.
They have a cool logo. And what was the name of the team we sponsored for Danny?
The Sock Puppets.
Sock Puppets. They have a cool logo.
Yes.
We have that.
Got both hats. Those are really cool.
A lot of character on these minor league teams.
Yes.
I got to run through because it's unbelievable. Error, two-run score, hit by pitch, hit by pitch, hit by pitch, walk wild pitch, hit by pitch. What are we doing?
Is that available on Twitter? Can I just see that whole montage?
Yes, you can.
Or on YouTube? I like There's to see
a,
that.
I'll retweet it from our Twitter account, but there is a video out there of all of the results. Not every pitch, but all of the result pitches.
For those who are wondering, it's the Angels AA affiliate, the Trash Pandas, and they're in Madison, Alabama. So there you go.
It's a cool name.
Yeah, I love that.
Shay.
Trash Pandas.
Rudy Gobert got into a bit of an incident yesterday with a teammate, Kyle Anderson, during a timeout during their win over New Orleans. Rudy Gobert, who can't keep himself out of the headlines for bad things, threw a punch at his teammate.
Ow. Jeez.
And yeah, on the bench.
I've never heard. Have you heard of this before? He got told, go home. It's like when you misbehave at your part-time job in high school. Go home. You
well, that's
be
what
here?
They did to the tight end for the 49ers, remember? Singletary.
Yes.
Singletary said, out. Yeah, that's happened before.
Can't do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, Singletary said, can't do it. Yes.
Right, that was where that rant came from. Can't win with him. Can't do it.
And yeah. By the way, he was right.
He was.
He was right.
And that tight end, what was his name? Vernon Davis?
Mm-hmm.
Vernon Davis said that was one of the great moments in his career that it turned him around. He realized, I got to change.
Rudy Gobert is a jag.
He is a jag.
It just, you know, and by the way, there won't be a suspension more than likely. I'm thinking because it was internal. Actually, the Wolves would be better without him based on the way the game is played today. His presence is not what it used to be. You go smaller in the lineups in the NBA, and he's just in the way. So if he doesn't play, that's fine. But just the idea he takes a poke at Kyle Anderson, That's just brutal.
It says here, head coach Chris Finch tried to address the team. Anderson and Gobert were involved in a heated discussion. And according to Woj, it centered on defense and rebounding. After Anderson told Gobert, quote, shut the bleep up, bitch, the Frenchman threw a punch at Anderson's chest. Something's going on this weekend calling athletes bitches. You can't do it. You get in trouble.
And then you saw Gobert's tweet this morning, which... I was wrong. It shouldn't have happened. I love him as a teammate. I apologize. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, and then the other part of it is one of the players punches a wall. Did that not happen also, Shay?
Yeah, that did happen. It was in New Orleans. I can't remember the name of the player. I can't think of who it was.
Yeah.
But walking into the tunnel, punched the wall, and then I think broke his hand.
Yeah, Jaden McDaniels fractured his hand.
Jaden McDaniels.
Yeah, I mean, just wild. For the last game, the last regular season game, on Easter Sunday, it was wild in the NBA.
Speaking of the last regular season game, so the season ended from the regular season, and they named the anti-load management all-stars, guys who don't load manage. Did any Chicago Bulls make the first, second, or third team? 15 guys.
Yes.
Who?
If nothing else about the Bulls, they've been relatively healthy.
They just played bad.
Yeah, they haven't been very good, but they've been available. You have to worry about load management with this team.
Okay.
It's probably the best players on the team.
Three of them. Yeah. First team, all anti-load management. Zach LaVine. For all the angst the first week when he sat out the second game, he played 69 straight games.
Nice.
And was third in the entire NBA in total minutes played. Mm-hmm. So can we stop with his knee as an issue?
Yep.
Because it's not. DeMar DeRozan made second team. Averaged 36.2 minutes per game, eighth most in the league, and Nikola Vucevic made third team. He played all 82 games and went to Billy last week and said, I'm not sitting out Friday, I'm not sitting out Sunday. I want to play every single game. I think that's really cool.
Jay Moore.
Does Zach LaVine and Ball have the same doctor or no? Knee surgeries, just quick.
I don't know. That's a great question. I don't think either one got their surgery done by the Bulls doctor. I think they both did it in L.A.
I believe that is correct.
So, but I'll have to make a call and find out for sure.
We have more Worst Weekends next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
Worst Weekends. Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
The final candidate for Worst Weekends is all those people who were rooting against LIV Golf. Three LIV golfers in the top five at the Masters. A really strong showing from Phil Mickelson, from Brooks Koepka, from Patrick Reed, among others who were put into the top 20. Really strong showing from the LIV golfers down at the Masters. John Rahm got the win, huge for the PGA, but LIV Golf came to play.
I just wanted the LIV guys to win so that they could get one of the PGA guys to just spray paint LIV on their back. That's what I want. I want them to say, we're the outsiders. We came in here and we won the tournament. Take that.
What if they had like a neck tattoo? LIV.
that's what I want, man. That's what I want.
So you said the LIV golfers came to play. Okay, Mickelson certainly did. Charles Schwartzel? No. Bubba? No. Sergio? No. Patrick Reed was okay. Dustin was terrible.
Okay, he's top five.
Who?
Patrick Reed.
Did he finish top five?
Pretty sure.
I mean, he was fine. Dustin Johnson, terrible. Okay. Koepka, excellent till the last day, but obviously finished second. Bryson, terrible. Cam Smith, eh. Mito Pereira, eh. Neiman, eh. I mean, none of these other dudes did anything.
Now time for the Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day.
Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Take that, Jay. David Flom and Matt Moore's Dining Creation. Start your Monday with a business lunch or maybe a little dinner tonight on the way out of the city.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
I was back home this weekend. I was walking around downtown Detroit.
Yes.
We know this is the site of the 2024 NFL Draft. April 25th will be the first day in 2024. Now, I walked around, and what I didn't know is where they're going to hold the draft. Outside. It's going to be in the heart of downtown Detroit, Campus Martius Park and Hart Plaza. Outdoors in April in Detroit for the NFL draft.
That's a bad idea.
That is a bad idea.
Fox Theater sold out. Got an event going on that day.
I guess it's not big enough. Like they'll get thousands of people down there for the draft outdoors. They got to have some types of contingency plans in place. They can't do this.
Roger, what's up, baby? Hey, man, I got these loose squares. You got what? Got these loose squares on here, man.
Cut that light out over there. Let me show you.
Let me show you something, man. Oh, you don't smoke? How about these watches? What's up, man? Look, man, I got these watches up in here. What's up? This one here is from Judge Mathis. I stole it from him. Wait a minute. This one's from Jalen Rose.
And that's all, folks.
It's not Bovada. It's Ovada. There's no B on here. What kind of watch is that? And that is the Cap and Jacob cut of the day. The Cap and Jacob cut of the day brought to you by
Chicago Cut Steakhouse. I would say the Newski bacon and good little appetizer, and then have your steak, like the Cajun ribeye. It's spectacular.
Cap, today is National Calvin Day. National Calvin Day. Who's your favorite Calvin?
Klein. Hobbs.
Mine? Pete.
That's a great one in honor of the Masters, Calvin Pete.
Just thought of that. Who comes up with this stuff?
Hold on a moment. It's not Calvin Hobbs. It's Calvin and Hobbs.
Whatever. I just thought of a Calvin. By the way, can I just say something that bothered me here today?
Sure.
I came in this morning. It was 6:10. Shea was at his desk. Jay Moore was at his control. You were right behind me.
Yeah.
I walk in, and somebody had the nerve to leave their used tissues. You saw this.
Oh, yeah.
Crumpled up. You could tell it'd been used right there on the console. Their Pepto-Bismol bottle right there on the console. Crumbs. It's like, really?
All right. You want to... You don't want to figure out who did that?
I have no idea who worked this weekend.
Well, who's riding sidecar this weekend, Shay? That's the question.
We'll take a peek at the schedule.
Is it Hanley?
Wasn't us on Friday. Studio? So who was it? Who was here from the time we ended at 10 on Friday until I walked in here with you today?
I don't know who the sidecar people were.
Sounds like a job for Columbo. Get some investigating going on.
Crying out loud. Just throw your trash away, please.
Columbo will have an hour to figure out what happened, and he won't know until 59 minutes into the show.
But he gets it done.
Yeah, he does.
Or William Conrad does.
My guy.
Your guy.
We thank you for listening and calling and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000.
Maybe it's a Kojak one.
Thank you, Shay. Thank you, Jay Moore. How about you and I do this tomorrow?
Let's do it, man. Love being with you. It's a blessing every day.
For David Kaplan, I'm Jonathan Hood. We'll do this tomorrow at 7 with you right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. So long, everybody.
Have a great week. Take that.
From Chicago.